Imagine living in that first century world where these saints were persecuted and there was real reason for discouragement. You read in Hebrews chapter 10, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, their houses and possessions had been taken away from them. You can imagine that world where it would have been like, as far as we know, while the Apostle James died early in the book of Acts, by the time of the writing of this book or shortly thereafter, there was just one death of the apostles after another after another. You begin looking at the time and the secular history about the death of the apostles, and all of a sudden it would seem like every time the church got together, there'd be another announcement of another apostle being dead. There was that great adversity that they had, and it would be so easy to get discouraged. You ever gotten discouraged? Then this lesson tonight is a lesson that will help us deal with adversity and deal with those problems in our life when it just seems like everything has gone wrong. First Peter, and that's what we're looking at in these Sunday night lessons, in these abbreviated Sunday night lessons. First Peter was written to those individuals who were called sojourners. They understood their citizenship was in heaven, but my, oh my, how difficult it is to live, how difficult it was to live for them. And in another respect, because while we may not suffer in the same way they did, the adversity that comes into our life causes us sometimes to think, this is really, really hard to try to live right and do right. So here's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start with actually verse 5 just to make one point. But the reading tonight was from verse 6 through 9. And look at this lesson as we talk about things as they are now and things as they will be then. There is a tremendous contrast between things that are now and things that are then. And if we live in the now world and never look for that world that lies beyond, we will be greatly discouraged. But there's a way, because of that which lies beyond even the adversity that is in our lives right now. And so let's just open up the text and look at it. As you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we need to understand that this discussion of tonight's lesson begins and ends with salvation. You look in verse 5 that says, you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I am saved, aren't you? I'm a child of God, are you not? But is there not another salvation that awaits us? So here's this salvation that is at the start of our life and the salvation that we have right now. I am saved. And the Bible says we are saved by hope. That's present tense. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You and I have been baptized, and there is that sense in which we are saved. But you look down at the end of this, and when you get to verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your salvation, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So as we think about the now and the then, life now and life in the afterlife, there is that now and there is that then in that life that we live. Have you ever been discouraged? Let me point out to you that Peter talks about things that are only for a little while. Look at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. You need to understand. The reason you can go to the dentist is because there's somebody else in that waiting room that is going to be persecuted right after they pull all of your teeth out. You understand what I'm talking about? There's a 30-minute appointment. You walk into that, you sit in that chair, and he takes that big jackhammer and he puts it inside your mouth, and he belts you into that chair, and he's just hammering you as hard as he can. And the only way you can take it is because this is a 30-minute appointment. If I had to stay here an hour, I could not make it. Let me tell you this. Compared to eternity, do you know how much our life on this earth is going to look like when compared to eternity? You think about when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. When we've been there 10,000 times 10,000 years, how does our life on this earth compare to that which lies beyond? So whatever there is in our lives is for a little while. Someone said the best statement in the Bible is, it came to pass. And somebody, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, I am sure glad the Bible does not say it came to stay. And in preparing this lesson, I looked up that expression, how many times it's found in the Bible, it came to pass. I want to tell you, if I remember it right, 166 times it came to pass. You and I need to understand that what is here, whatever it is temporary. And if we're going to live as sojourners, and there's adversity in our lives and things that may tend to discourage us, we need to understand that it is just for a little. In the second place, we need to notice that we are kept by the power of God. Look again in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Kept by the power of God. One of the great blessings that we need to understand is that God is our keeper, that He is our shepherd, that He has a rod and a staff, and that rod, that staff can lift us up when we fall. We're kept by His power. And Jesus says, I have my sheep in my hand, and there's no power on this earth. There's no man on this earth that's able to pluck them out of my hand. And so in the midst of whatever is happening in your life, or whatever is happening in your life 5 years from now, there needs to be a realization of the fact that it is for a little while, but in that little while, kept by the power of God. The eyes of the Lord are over. You want to put your name in that place? Mickey, the eyes of the Lord are over Mickey. The ears of the Lord are open to Mickey's prayers. The face of the Lord's against those that do evil, but His eyes and His ears are ours. And this verse says that we are kept by His power. That's in the now, in the adversity that we have now. But look again. This passage talks about the trials, the various trials, and the grief that there. Look at the latter part of verse 6. If needs be, you have been grieved by various trials. Not just be grieved by a trial. It's plural. Grieved by trials. And then by various. The word various means multicolored. In our life and in your life, the adversity that you face when you're 25 years of age may not be the same adversity that you face when you're 75 years of age. You understand what I'm talking about? Throughout all of our lives. And the Satan comes to us in multitudes of ways. And so this passage says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while there is grief. That's why when there are burdens that we have, we can cast our cares upon Him. And it is the Almighty God who has the power to wipe the tears from our eyes. We in this now situation, these trials, these various trials and grief that we have, need to be understood that we are tested by fire. Look again. He says in verse 7, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. There's an application here that has to do with the purifying of gold. Gold is just those flakes that's inside ore of other kinds. And there is that process of melting down all of that dross that is around that ore that is there. And then finally you get that which is precious. If we're going to understand what adversity is, we'll be able to understand what James means when he says, count it all joy. You hear the word all? Count every bit of it joy. When you fall into various trials, diverse temptations, the King James says, because he says, here's what happens. The trying of your faith, you know what that's like? It's like taking all of that ore, which would be us, and putting us in the midst of the fiery trials that are around us. And the end of that is pure gold that's poured out. And that's what adversity does. It causes us to be driven to our knees, and we think that we have been humbled and that we're not standing tall for Jesus, but no man ever stands any taller than when he's driven to his knees. And so the trials that we have, properly understood, is just like refining of gold. We are tested by fire. But in the now, there are things that we have not seen. Look down in verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. And tied to that which is mentioned in verse 7, and that is the genuineness of your faith. Do you understand that in the midst of all of the adversity there is around us, this is what faith is? Well, I just don't see any way out of this. Well, that's because we're not in charge of finding our way out of these situations. But there is one who keeps us, who in the midst of whatever trials we face in the now, there is that one whom though we have not seen, we believe that he is. Isn't that what Thomas was told? The verse that Josh used this morning, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it's preceded. Verse 30 and 31 is preceded by Thomas. When Thomas says, unless I see him, unless I put my finger in the nail prints in his hand and put my hands in his side, I'll not believe. And then when he did, he believed. And the Lord says, you have believed and you have seen. And John turns right around and he says to us, you can do exactly what Thomas did. You don't see him, but there's a genuineness to your faith. Folks, it is not a wish that there is a God. It's not a dream that we could live in a world where all things work together for our goods. It's not that we are crossing our fingers and knocking on wood and throwing salt over our shoulders and running away from black cats and not walking under ladders. That's not what it's all about. There's a genuineness to our faith. Listen, even as you're young, the fact that your faith has sustained you through every trial you've met thus far, to those of us who are older, look back in your life and see all of those times where in the midst of adversity you thought, I don't see any way on earth I'll be able to make it through this. And time after time, he's always been there. And there's genuineness to our faith. And while we do not walk by sight, faith in one sense can be stronger than sight ever thought about being, because it's the reality that sustains us. In the now situation, there is that the preciousness of that faith that is worth more than gold. How precious is your faith to you? Peter says, here is that 24-karat gold, and if they made 30-karat gold, whatever the biggest number you could possibly get, guess what's more precious than gold? That's our faith. And it's in the now world that we have that faith. But look again. In the now world, that is that which is in the latter part of verse 8 when he says, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. When I first started looking at this passage, I started to make that a part of the then world. But the tense is the present tense. Right now, there is joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And Paul looked on the sufferings that he had and perhaps the shedding of his own blood that lay before him as him just adding his blood to the suffering of those who have gone before and to the blood of Jesus. And there is that sense in which the trials of our life are laid up in the treasures of God with all of the trials of all of those saints throughout both testaments, and that we become fellow heirs with them because the realization of that gives us joy. You see, there's not only a peace that passes understanding. Look at the verse. An inexpressible joy. And those who are not Christians, those who are not children of God, cannot imagine whenever you've been in the midst of adversity, you've been in the hospital, the doctor's come out and given some bad report, you're having problems in your life and having problems with other situations, and people look in absolute amazement and say, how can you be that calm? How can you be that way? is because I recognize there is a now world, and there is that assurance that I have now of the reality of my faith. Brother Gus Nichols said, I knew there was a Jordan River. I went to the Bible lands and I saw the Jordan River. But I was no more convinced that the Jordan River was there after I had waded in that Jordan River in my bare feet than before I got there. And that's us. When you see His nail-pierced hands, you'll not have any faith any greater in it than you can have right now. When He returns and the heavens are open, you'll not be surprised, perhaps surprised at the time that it's happened, but you will not be surprised at all that He's coming back. Why? Because there is that assurance right now about our faith. Listen, we're on the winning team. And we have that assurance, and He who cannot lie has given us those very things. But look beyond the now. But before looking beyond the now, wouldn't you want to be a Christian and have the abundant life that you have right now, even if there were no heaven? Think about how happy you are, how content you are. And if there were no resurrection and there were no heaven, wouldn't you still want to live the life that you're living right now and have the peace that you have in your life about all the things that you have? But the Lord says there is that then. And so look back at this passage briefly as you looked at that which is now. Then there is that faith that is purified. There is that faith that is precious. And there is that faith that is glorious. The preciousness of our faith in the after a while will allow us to enjoy the gloriousness of that for which we have struggled all of our lives. You see, when that trump sounds and when the heavens roll back as a scroll, that'll be the greatest day we've ever had. But we have that assurance of that right now. And that's why the book of Revelation ends with saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Do we not long sometimes in our lives for the Lord to come back? And it's not a time of terror and horror. It's a time of the assurance of faith that is glorious. But there are three phrases in verse 7. There is the word praise. It says that your faith may be found to praise. And then after that is the next one, honor and glory. And the one after that, revelation. I want you to dream with me for just a moment. I want you to dream with me whenever there is the praise from heaven itself. You stop and reflect for just a moment. We said when a person has been baptized, someday he'll say to the Father and His angels, He confessed me before men. Father, let him come into heaven. He's my little brother. And the praise from heaven. Sometimes I imagine as in a secular way of thinking about heaven, I imagine that missionary who's been in a foreign country and he's spent his whole life in a foreign country and he's headed back. And there is that church that's awaiting him there. That's the church that has supported them there. And as he nears the harbor and as the boat docks, there's that multitude of saints in that church who are there to welcome him there. Think of the number of songs that we sing that talk about those who await us on that other side. Loved ones in glory are waiting for me just inside the gate. And there is that praise from them, but that praise not just from them, but the praise from the Father. And there is that praise, and there is that honor and that glory that will be there at the revelation of Jesus. And so he says, we have not seen him, but we will see him. We sing that song that Gary has taught us and got us to think about as a congregation. When I look upon his face, when he takes me by the hand to lead me through the promised land, when I can see him, what a day, glorious day that will be. I marvel that anyone, knowing about the revelation of Jesus Christ and knowing about seeing Jesus Christ, would ever want to give up in their faith. But finally, this passage talks about the end of your faith. But this word end doesn't mean the terminal end. It's that word that is often translated perfect. When the Bible says be perfect, what does that mean? That means mature. You've reached that from what which started out as a rosebud, and now it's a beautiful, beautiful rose. In that song, Whispering Hope, we sing, come then, O come, glad fruition. What's that all about? That's what we are. We've lived on this earth, and we began as infants in Christ, and we've grown, all of us, in different ways. But all of us growing in the presence of God arrive at that time when it's not just a little bud that is there, it's the fullness of the rose. That's the word that's here. And what is the fullness? What is the end of our faith? The salvation. You want to know why to be faithful? Saints in Asia Minor, do you want to understand why you need to be faithful? I'll tell you why. Because someday he will hear these words, and listen, saint at Palm Beach Lakes, you will hear these words. Come, ye blessed of my Father. That's where our faith is going to wind up. It's not a dream. It's not a wouldn't it be wonderful? It's not a wish. The fruition of our faith is the salvation of our souls. I want to go to heaven. For so many reasons. David mentioned this morning about those that we'll see there and talk to Noah about all of these, and that'll be great. But I want to go to heaven because on that day, I want to be there with you. We've worked together in this church for so many years, and imagine us being around the throne of God and seeing multitudes of individuals from around the world that said, I'm in heaven because of you. That's the fruition of faith. Don't you dare give up. When those trials come, understand them. It's just us going through a fire that will allow us to be purified, and in the end, there'll be that then part of our world. We're sojourners. We live in the now, but before us lies the then. Let me ask you a question in closing. What's the then of your life? You'll either hear him say, come you blessed of my Father, if you're his child. You become his child by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, by repenting of your sins. That means you turn away from sin. You turn toward the Lord by confessing your faith in Jesus, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and by being immersed in water that your sins might be washed away by the blood of Jesus as you're baptized into his death. That's the then you could have. And you could have that tonight. Have the assurance of that. If you're a child of God who's wandered away, this invitation song is also for you. If you need to respond to the invitation song, will you not do so right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?